C1R.
Number 11A.
11 we read on in that text. We come to line 28 on page 476. When speaking of God's children, not the children of men, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." Well, this seems to be a new aspect up to what we have read up to now, saying that the kingdom of God is within you, but that "you" refers, as she says, to the children of God, not to mortals. So within the idea man, which he has said is outside of all material selfhood, in that idea man, the whole kingdom of God is actually expressed. That is, truth and love reign in the real man. Oh yes, that's what I was thinking just before. Showing that man is God's image. Showing that man in God's image is unfallen and eternal. Yes, we have seen that. That is unfallen. Jesus beheld in science the perfect man. Well, that gives a completely new aspect. Up to this point, really, Mrs. Eddy hasn't said how we should look at men. She just gave a statement of the idea man, and then a statement of the counterfeit man, then showing that the counterfeit man will be self-destroyed when we see the true idea man. Oh, I see. If we see the true idea man, that's what Jesus meant. Jesus beheld, he saw in signs a perfect man who appeared to him where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. And so this is quite a new picture. It is giving us really the method of what to do with the true idea man, namely to behold in science the perfect man. The perfect man was really depicted in that first paragraph. You remember? The perfect man, a spiritual man in the sevenfold aspect. And that was science. So Jesus always took that idea of man as depicted in the first paragraph and always looked in that way at men who appeared to him at the very same place where for others the sinning mortal man appears. So where we see a sinning mortal man, if we look through the lens of science, we see the perfect man, then we really take the right attitude. So I begin to feel here something about mind's true attitude, namely mind is that which sees and beholds. I should look at the sinning mortal man through the lens of the science of mind. Exactly there where the mortal appears, there I should see the perfect idea. And in this perfect man, the Savior saw, I begin to realize it is a mind attitude, the divine mind attitude. The Savior saw God's own likeness. And this correct view of man healed the sick. And I get again a sense of the healing Christ, that looking at the universe through mind, that this is the healing mind, the correcting mind, and it heals the sick. So I get more and more reinforced so to say, with the place value of this question and answer, namely Christianity as the Christ. I beheld man, the perfect man, Christianity, and beholding man rightly as idea has a Christ effect. This correct view heals the sick. Thus Jesus taught that the kingdom of God, well, that's how she started that paragraph, that the kingdom of God is within you. Thus Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is intact, universal, and that man is pure and holy, yes, the perfect man. Man is not the material habitation for soul. He is himself spiritual. Yes, we have seen that. So, some kind of a reinforcement of what she has said. Soul being spirit is seen. Oh, again seen. In that paragraph we had all along that sense of mind seeing, mind beholding, mind beholding. So soul being spirit is seen in nothing imperfect or material. And I get here a paragraph, the side note is the kingdom within, that I feel, yes, that true man that has been depicted is not just a statement, a picture, but that it is something that I can hold within myself and therefore behold always the true idea man, and that that is the Christ to a situation. So the main accent shifts here to mind seeing, mind beholding, mind knowing, mind correcting, mind healing. I go on to the next paragraph. Whatever is material is mortal. All right. So to the five corporeal senses, man appears. Again, we have the appearing and seeing. Man appears to be matter and mind united. But Christian Science reveals, and again I have a sense, mind reveals against the appearance. The corrective for what appears. You see, you had appear already on line 1, then on line somewhere else, on line 2 again. So it all has to do with the seeming and the appearing and how it appears versus really mind beholding, mind seeing, science revealing. So Christian Science reveals. But Christian Science reveals man as the idea of God and declares the corporeal senses to be mortal and erring illusions. Again, a sense explaining that what I see with the divine mind from the kingdom within ourselves is a true idea. All what is material is an appearance. It is actually an erring illusion. Divine Science shows, again shows, mind shows us always that it is, Divine Science shows it to be impossible that the material body, though interwoven with matter's highest stratum, misnamed mind, small m, should be man. The genuine and perfect man, the immortal idea of being. Well, I begin to see she wants to bring out here the marginal heading, namely that the material body is never God's idea. To bring out that the material body is just appearing as if it were man, is just an erring illusion, that it is just a false declaration, but that it can never be really the immortal idea of being indestructible and eternal. whereas otherwise man would be annihilated. So, since those last two paragraphs seem to have all to do with showing that we should look at the man through the lens of science, through the lens of seeing as divine mind sees, and not the way as it appears to the physical senses. If we look at man through the five physical senses, we see sinning mortal man, that we see there a material body, though interwoven with mind, small m, but still remaining a mortal body, and that is never God's idea. Just reinforcing again in the last paragraph that Jesus beheld in science a perfect man, and therefore that perfect man never was a perfect body or a perfect material body, but always only God's idea. And this is very necessary to see, that we see that if we give a treatment, that we do not have the patient as a mortal man, as a person, as that which we treat, but that we behold really the idea of the perfect man as depicted in the first paragraph, and that we stick to that and don't mingle it up, mix it up with a corporeal sense of man, and try to see the corporeal sense of man to be the immortal man and God's man. Then if we stick to that purity, that correct view will heal the sick, will give us freedom from mortality. Well, in this way we have considered that text, and having read it so that we always try to put the terms into our system, into the categories, be it the category of the seven synonymous term, be it in the category of Christianity, be it in the category of the Christ, be it in the category of Christian Science, all these four we have done as we were reading. These were the categories into which we were translating the text. We found, and I think now you see the fruit of such an interpretation, namely that now you know what you have read. You have read a bit over two pages, but you know what you have read. Perhaps I should have put first the question like this. I should have asked you and say, now give to yourself the following answer. You have been reading these two pages in your Christian Science life, certainly many, many times, because I think this is a subject to which one refers to quite often, that one goes back to that text and says, there Mrs. Eddy explains what is man, and you were quoting, I think, quite often, really, from that text, especially Jesus beheld in signs a perfect man, and so on. Perhaps quoting some of the statements in that first paragraph, so out of that text, many sentences may have stuck in your mind, and you were using them as atomistic ideas. But by large, I would say you have perhaps read this answer dozens of times. Have you ever felt, after having read those two pages, that you knew what you have read afterwards? Or were there just a few statements that remained in your consciousness? And I think I can answer that wholeheartedly for everybody, that they did not know what the text as a consecutive story would say. Or do you feel otherwise? I don't think so. Why not? because one was not able to translate them into a system. A system always is a terrific help to see the order, and the moment we see any subject in an order, we understand it. Before we don't see it in an order, we never understand it. We just know facts, that's all. Now, you can say, well, is that true what I said, that after having read it in the way that you translate it into your categories, that then you know it? Yes, I prove it to you. I think you could now, without looking into your notes, you would at once be aware at least of the great three tones that went through it, that you would start actually with showing mind from the point of view of spirit, that man is a spiritual idea, perfect, and you would run through the seven quite easily. But afterwards were a few paragraphs all about the true identity of man and the counterfeit sense as a mortal. And then you had, which was soul, and then you had two paragraphs about mind, how we should look at that man, and looking at that man correctly, this would be the healing Christ, the correcting Christ. So much you would know right away now, and you will never forget it. I'm quite sure that if you make this just a little bit your own right away, for all your life you will never forget it. It's so definite that it sticks out. Even if you go over it again ponderingly and first think about it without looking into your notes and into the textbook, still I think you could even find the finer line of reasoning in it without going to the textbook. You would find, let's do that without looking down to the text. Huh? You remember that it has first the tone of spirit, which would say right away that man is not material, therefore is not made up of material elements of blood and bones and brains and material elements, that he is spiritual, and therefore as a spiritual idea he is perfect. And at once you can say, what is perfect? And knowing your seventh synonymous term, you could say, therefore, the perfect concept of man is, from the point of view of mind, that he is an idea of mind. From the point of view of spirit, he must be the reflection of spirit, the compound idea of man. Therefore, the blending of all the ideas constitute the compound idea man. Therefore, there is only one generic man. So, at the point of principle, you would see that he is actually fixed in principle and found in science. At the point of life, you would see that that man is eternal and has an individuality, has an inseparability from principle. He is eternal. At the point of truth, you would say he is the heir of God. Therefore, he has not a single quality that is underived from God. Much more, he has all the qualities that are derived from God. Therefore, from the point of view of love, all belongs to man. That belongs to God. That's what you said in that paragraph. Can you see how you can reconstruct the line of reasoning just by knowing the categories in which he speaks? Then, you know that he went from that spiritual concept to the concept of soul, a soul which is the image and likeness of God and has dominion over. So she quotes first from the sixth day of creation, the tone of truth as soul, that God made man in the image and likeness of God and gave him dominion over everything. And then she goes and explains that in metaphysical terms, in the terms of science, and shows, all right, man really is that identity that has never fallen. He is always God's image and likeness, therefore he was never a sinner. That which appears to be a sinner as the counterfeit of that true identity is not man, that's the mortal. And you come to the, you have the tone of soul, and she goes on in that tone of soul, saying, well, now we have two things in front of us. Here a statement of the identity man, the true idea man as an identity. Here the statement really of the counterfeit of man. Now are they going on parallel to with each other all along, or what happens? So the next paragraph begins and says, no, you know, the false sense, the counterfeit sense of it, if driven to its final limits, is self-destroyed, so that applies also to men and mortals. So in the measure as the immortal appears, the mortal disappears, and you have here the dominion of men over everything, and see that fundamentally at the point of soul we see that that which is the immortal remains the immortal, and therefore the counterfeit begins to disappear. And there at that point you say, but how shall I do that? And she said, you remember there is a rule of soul, that this idea man is always outside of every material selfhood. Remember that. That which is a material selfhood and called man, that is like grass, that fades away like the wind when it blows over it, and the place thereof nobody will know anymore. All right, but how I'm going to tackle that? What is my contribution to that? What should I do that I can really see this happen? So you come to mind, and she said, you see, you have the kingdom within yourself, the whole kingdom. Therefore look at man from that standpoint of the whole kingdom of mind, of the ideas of mind, just like Jesus beheld in science a perfect man. Look through the lens of science, and therefore you can look through the lens of that first paragraph, seeing the idea man as the perfect idea, and you can go right through those seven aspects of man and say, if you look that way at the mortal, then actually right there where mortal sense sees the mortal, there you see the idea man, and that corrects and that heals the situation. Therefore, don't ever think that that which appears and is only an appearing of the material sense is the real man. It isn't the real man, it's just an illusion, and you have to see it straight and right. Therefore, see it in science, and then you don't consider the corporeal body, the mortal body, as the idea man. That is not so. That is just a seeming. And if you see that, then this corrects and heals. Yes? That's what you said. You see, if you have a line of reasoning that is given through the categories, it's easy to reconstruct it. But naturally, a textbook is not written that we learn it by heart. That would be a terrific job. And no science relies on memorizing and learning by heart. A science relies on understanding, and understanding means that you have order. Without order, there is no understanding. So if we can put the whole subject in some order, here in the order first, that it is the Christianity, it has to do with man, in the order of the Christ, that man must be the savior for its counterfeit, and put it into the order of the synonymous term. Here, just that order of spirit, soul, mind, which is the order, the divine order for man. Because if you take the definition of man from the glossary, and the glossary is also about Christianity, then that glossary defines man in exactly the same way. Then the glossary also defines man as what? It says, first, at the point of spirit, it is the compound idea of infinite spirit. Isn't that what we have seen first? Then she defines it through soul, the spiritual image and likeness of God. That man is the identity of God. Yes? And then she defines man through mind. What? The full representation of mind. Jesus bears the full representation in his mind. And so it confirms the glossary definition of man. It confirms something more than that. It confirms the Christianity order. Here we are in Christianity. And the Christianity order, and we are in the reversed order. You remember that she presents Christianity in the reversed order, and in the reversed order of the Christianity order of the seven synonymous term, which was principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love, she takes out that sense which has to do with Christianity as the Christ, namely mind, soul, spirit, but it's reversed. And in reversed order, like in Luke, it is therefore in that Christianity order, spirit, soul, mind. So it all is lined up in the same definite order in being. So that we see Mrs. Eddy wasn't just writing in a flowery way about this seven synonymous term, just picking out subjects and aspects of that subject the way she liked to do it, that it is all according to order. Here man, every time we come to the inverted sense of Christianity, then we show as spirit, a reflection of spirit, as soul, that that reflection of spirit is identity, as the identity of God, and as mind, showing that it is the full representation, the kingdom of God within you. Yes? That's the question, what is man? You feel that if we handle really the textbook through system, intrinsic interpretation, that's what we have done. We have interpreted, not the way we consider it, but putting it back into the system. But interpreting, therefore, text in the system intrinsic nature leads to true understanding. And it brings you to a point where you begin to understand it so that you are not constantly dependent on reading the textbook. You take the textbook to study it, but not really to practice it. I know that most practitioners, if you to practice it, they go to the textbook and read their head off for a while, but that's not what is practice. Practice, every case is different, and therefore should be the flow of that inspiration which comes out from understanding the system. So we first have to understand the system.